Well, good evening. That's what I'm talking about. You guys are lively. Hopefully I can keep you that way. As the food settles, hopefully you don't settle in too much at that time. So, hey, my name is Dallas. I am so glad to be back with you tonight. I didn't quit, all right? I didn't quit. I wasn't suspended. There's really three reasons why we have given other people opportunities. One is I went on vacation, which is always good in the summer. That's right. The second thing was working on other things. But the third thing really is, you know, we really want to have people operate in their giftedness and develop leaders and that sort of thing. And the people who have come in and spoken have done such a good job, and really too good of a job in my estimation. All right. But hey, can we give a hand to Craig and Travis and Ira and Steve and Buddy? Great job. Yeah. I always say so eloquently, if I get hit by a bus, I want this thing to continue on. And, you know, whether it's a sin habit that I develop in the future or something like that, and I have to resign in misery, I want this thing to be set up well to continue on. Or, you know, if my time has come, I want this thing to continue on. And so the only way really to do that is to continue to develop leaders, let them operate in their giftedness. So that's what we're going to continue to do here at Grace Meadows. As I said Sunday, we're going to finish the book of Hebrews tonight, and we were kind of looking at somewhere between 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, somewhere in those chapters, and I kept going back and forth on Monday and finally kind of settled in chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be in verses 1 through 3. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get in there. Father, it doesn't matter how eloquently I say things, which isn't very likely anyway, but I just pray, no matter what I do or don't say, I just pray that you will just work in this space. I mean, I just pray that you will do your work right now in this moment. Father, we love you a lot. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of tonight's message is Keep Not Quitting. Over and over, the writer of Hebrews keeps telling the people, his audience, to keep going, persevere in this race. And it's not that you have to run the race so fast. It's just that you should endure. It's not that you have to have the best form even. It's just to continue to endure. Keep not quitting and keep your focus on Jesus. I'm a part of this running group, which is something I never thought I would say. I mean, until about a few months ago, I had never run more than a mile at one time. And so I started in this running group. We do Tuesdays and Fridays, and it's called Run GMC. So shameless plug, if you want to join the group, join the group. Just let me know, and we'll get you plugged into that. You start running with us. But on Tuesdays and Fridays, we run. And I still don't know if this group that I run with loves me or hates me yet. Like, I can't tell if they're trying to, like push me to get better, or if they're trying to push me to the brink. I haven't decided yet, but like, we're running a lot and way more than I ever thought I would. And so about a half a mile in, every single time, I'm ready to quit. I mean, I just feel, I'm like, I am tired, I am breathing heavy, I'm ready to be done here. And yesterday, same exact thing. I've been doing this for months and still half a mile in, ready to quit. But then I realized something. I said, you know, at this time, I always want to quit, but if I just keep not quitting, then I'll be glad at the end that I didn't quit. And that's the point here. It's the writer here is saying, just continue to persevere in the race. When things are tough, man, when there's trials, when things are heavy, just keep going, and you'll be glad by the end of it that you just kept going. And some of these trials that they're facing at the time, you can understand why they would want to quit. People are being burned alive. People are being tortured. People are being killed. Painful, painful deaths. You can understand if somebody said, you know what, I'm out. I'm not going to keep running this race. And for many of us today, the thing that prevents us from running the race isn't really persecution. Typically, it's other things. Maybe it's comfort. I'd say the biggest one, though, is distraction. We get distracted very easy today in our culture, don't we? We are very impulsive. We have everything at our fingertips. If that page doesn't refresh in about 3 seconds, we get angry. We want what we want when we want it, right? And so sometimes we can get distracted. We've got all these things at play, and sometimes we can just get distracted. Do any of you guys follow the Savannah Bananas minor league baseball team? I didn't. Okay, I knew you guys did, but anybody else? Okay, good. So they're kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, if you will. They're a minor league team, and they just do fun stuff every time. And a couple months back, they had this baby race. Did any of you guys see this going around social media? So they bring these moms and their babies to the infield, and then the moms take off. They go to the finish line, and then they just see what baby gets to the finish line first. And it's really interesting because they're babies. And so the focus, the attention, is not so good when you're about, you know, 6 to 9 months old, which it looks like what these babies are. And so you might be wondering, well, how did that shake out? Well, let's watch the video. Let's go. Just a little distraction going on there. You got grass, you got your neighbors hitting them, you got the noises, you got all kinds of different things going on to be distracted. And it's pretty funny. But when you think about it, we're really not all that different, are we? We want to run a good race, but all these distractions sometimes come up. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's something we've dealt with a long time ago coming into the faith, insecurities, pride, all these different things, and they continue to distract us from running the race. The question as we get into Hebrews 12 is, are you distracted from running the race here tonight? Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now let's just stop right here for a second so you can understand what the therefore is there for. Hebrews chapter 11, right before this, the writer just talks about all these Old Testament people who just kept the faith over and over again. In fact, the whole chapter, that's what it is. It's just different people in the Old Testament and their faith. And so when he's talking about a cloud of witnesses here, he's saying, hey, there are so many people in the past who have run this race well, and they've kept the faith. And so remember that when you think it's even just impossible sometimes to run the race and keep going. Remember, there are people who have come before you. And that's what we can do as well. Maybe you've had parents or aunts or uncles or friends or something, and they've just run this race, and that emboldens us with confidence to know that it's possible. Let's continue. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, the implication here is that the people he's writing to are feeling like quitting. And the reason is they've got so many things extra that they're carrying around that are weighing them down. Probably things like fear for their life, worries, anxiety, doubts even about the goodness of God during this time. But notice, he still doesn't say run fast. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul talks about running as though to win the prize, what he's saying is training as one who wants to win the prize. Another way to say it is to just shed the extra weight that keeps you from doing your best. Now, I told you guys last week I was on vacation, and coming back to run this week was a little bit more difficult. Why? Extra weight. Yeah, somebody's laughing over here, and I'm gonna have to talk to them about it. I don't know about that. But no, I had a week full of chips and ice cream. So I had some extra weight going around, and I ain't mad at it. It's all good. But when you have extra weight around, it's difficult for you to run your best race, isn't it? Think about like a 100-meter dash Olympian. If that Olympian gains 50 pounds, they're going to become an average runner pretty quickly. That's the point here. So many of us are carrying so many useless things around, and we're trying to run a good race, and we just can't because we have all these things piled up on us. Again, you name it. There are 1,000 different things I could name that people might be carrying around here this evening. But I would contend that whether it's in our mind, whether it's a sin habit, whether it's that sin that just entangles us, and sometimes we have such sin in our life that it begins to control us. I love that word, entangled. That you just almost get tangled up and you can't even pump those arms to run the race because it's just got you. It's like if you're carrying, you know, a bunch of laundry around and you got so many clothes that you can't even see where you're going, so you're like bumping up into the doorway and stuff like that. That's what we're talking about here. You just can't do anything because it just consumes you. It's just got you. And so many of us are carrying so many different things around. God wants us. The invitation is that we can let go of those things so that we can run freely in his name. Every one of us comes into the faith with some old wounds or some old sin habits or some old traumas and things. And if we're not careful, those things begin to consume us and weigh us down so that we can't run. Maybe we even wake up in the morning and it's the first thing we think about. It's that insecurity that we have, you know, or that pride that we have, or that stress about the job or getting ahead or whatever it is, and it just consumes us to the point where we just can't effectively run the race the way God desires for us. The question is, what are you carrying around that is hindering you from running freely this race God has for us? Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He says, you want a good race? You want to run a good race? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean, this is what I thought it meant for a long time, and I don't know if anybody else thought of it this way. If not, I'm embarrassed, but I used to think it was like Jesus standing at the finish line, and I just keep looking at him so I can get to the finish line. And that's not actually what he's saying. It's kind of a sweet picture, though, isn't it? It's like the couple in a movie, you know, they hadn't seen each other in a long time, and then they see each other, and they, like, the woman, like, takes off the heels so she can run to him faster, you know, and just embrace him and give him a hug. It's a sweet picture. But that's not what the writer's talking about here of Hebrews. What he's saying is Jesus is that ultimate example. In chapter 11, he talked about all these different examples, but what he's saying here is fix your eyes on Jesus because he is that ultimate example. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one we come to. He's the author of our faith. He's the best example. He's the one we come to and fix our eyes upon. Anything else, he says, shed it. Get rid of it. It's done. For me, when I was a kid, I was a huge Batman fan, and I wanted to be just like him. Copy all the patterns. I don't know if any of you other men did this, but like I'd take like a sheet, put it on the back of my shirt, and I'd climb up on the piano, and I'd jump off, and I'd like try to get it to like straighten out so I could just kind of glide through the air, and of course I'd fail, but I'd just keep doing it over and over and over again. And then when I got a little bit older, it was Michael Jordan. I wanted to be like Mike, you know, tongue out, flying through the air, walking around with the swagger, that sort of thing. You know, and I was like Mike, all except for being like 5'9 and 25-inch vertical. But aside from that, I was being like Mike. But maturity is when you realize that Jesus is our aim, that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the ultimate example that we want to follow after. That is maturity when we say, man, he's the one. Shed everything else. Shed all the other examples. In fact, one translation, the NASB, I think it is, says, fix your eyes only on Jesus. I just love that translation. Just, you know, he's like saying, you know all those other examples I said in chapter 11? Forget about it. just fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the example. Look only to Jesus. But the problem, I'd say, that we have is we often don't even know what Jesus is really like, do we? I mean, do we know how Jesus handles conflict when it comes up in our lives? Do we know how Jesus spends his extra time when he has a little bit of it? Do we know what Jesus would do with abundance? Do we know what Jesus does when there's those real moments of tension? Do we really even know the example of Jesus? The writer here is saying, this is the only example that matters. Forget all the other examples. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's continue reading. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The cross was something that Jesus endured. It wasn't a source of joy, even though there was joy set before him. Now remember, I think we talked a couple weeks ago about this, that Jesus doesn't go to the cross so that we don't have to go to the cross. He goes to the cross so that we can follow his example of going to the cross. There's something about enduring and persevering and going through hard times that produces on the other side of it joy. I have never seen, maybe you have, I have never seen somebody run with a smile on their face. Never. Even, and if anybody would do it, it would be Kendrick Titus. The dude runs like 12 miles at a time. But even him, when I run with him, he's got a serious face on. Nobody gets really happy about the running. But why do they do it? Because of what's on the other side. That there's a perseverance that produces some things in us. Remember, the writer is addressing people here who are really going through some trials. And he's just saying, just keep not quitting. Just keep going. Endure through the pain. Shed what is keeping you from running a good race so that you can just keep going. And in doing so, you won't grow weary or lose heart. If we skip down a few verses, Hebrews 12, 11 and 12 say this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. I love that. Just don't sugarcoat it. Just lay it out there. There is joy before you as you endure trials. Just like the woman who has a baby. I don't think the woman wants to have a baby because she wants to go into labor. She wants the baby because the labor will produce something. There will be joy set before her. And that's the point here. The writer's saying, just keep going. Just keep not quitting. And then maybe one day, we can be like Paul in 2 Timothy. He says this. Chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. He sees the time is coming for him, his end. He says, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Man, if I'm honest, some of you may have gone off course or you've even stopped running. It's time to get moving again. And some of you are considering quitting. Just keep not quitting. And some of you are trying to run, but you're carrying around so much extra weight. You know, your heart is, you really just want to run a good race, man. But there's just so many things just weighing you down. And the reason why we ended up sitting here tonight in chapter 12 is because, man, this hit me like a ton of bricks about unloading things. I didn't realize till this morning that there's something I've taken into every conflict my whole life that I didn't even realize until just this morning. That I always feel like somehow anytime there's a conflict, it's always my fault. You know, if somebody came up and punched me in the face, I'd be like, I must have done something to make them do that. And that's so heavy to carry around, that kind of stuff. But there's so many of us who do that so often. We just carry it, and we just carry it, and we just think that that's normal, and that's okay. And we just don't even address it. But what would it look like for us to say, you know what, those insecurities that I just keep playing over and over in my mind, I got to drop it. I got to unload it. That pride, it's gone. I got to unload it. Or maybe it's even practical things like social media, man. It's just keeping you from running the race with your family. Man, just unload it. Get rid of it. Or it's a smartphone, or it's whatever it is. Just get rid of it so you can run the race freely the way God desires for you to run. What do you need to unload here tonight? Because if we can keep running the way God desires for us to run, then maybe, just maybe, one day, by the grace of God, we can say, I finished the race. I kept the faith. During this time of worship, if you need to unload some things at the feet of Jesus, man, come to the altar and do that. But let me say one more thing. You know, we really only get one life to live. And I don't want to get to the end of it and say, man, I had my eyes fixed on my phone, or I couldn't get past my pride. I was just so distracted by all these things. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, man, I just blew it. And for us as Grace Meadows Church, I don't want that for us either. I want us to be able to say, by the grace of God, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. The only way to do that is to start unloading some things here tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would be so gracious to us once again to just maybe bring to mind right now some things that we just need to give over to you. Maybe we've held on to it all our lives. Would you just be so gracious to once again help us to run freely so that we can finish the race and keep the faith? We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.